Now then, I don't want you to answer out loud, but I do want you to think. And if you think maybe about some of the things that you've bought or some of the things that you might want for Christmas, I want you to think of what you think the number one Christmas present this year might be.
Yay!
In the sense of what people have bought the most of. Does that make sense? What people have bought the most of, which makes it the number one Christmas present. I've got one. I've brought one with me. You'll be impressed at this, I'm sure. Oh, it's down here somewhere. That's amazing, isn't it? The number one Christmas present this year is an apple. Now, my favourites are Braeburn. I quite like Granny Smith's, but there's a brand new one. I've never heard of it before. It's called an iPhone. It's called an Apple iPhone. In fact, if we look at the list, you will see that three different types of Apple make it on there. One's an iPhone, one's an iPod Touch, and one's an iPod Nano. Which is amazing, isn't it? It's good to see, isn't it, that the five-a-day message is finally getting through to people. That's great to know, isn't it? That's great to know. Well, of course, it's not really an Apple, is it? Apple is the name of a company that make these gadgets. And actually, the iPhone won Gadget of the Decade on the Gadget Show. I don't know if you're into gadgets, but if you'd have seen that in the week, you will have seen that the Apple iPhone won not only top Christmas present, but Gadget of the Decade, because people were so impressed with it. And I know a few people here have got one, and they're great, aren't they? Well, you can do whatever you want with it, really. I mean, it'll take you wherever you want to go, and you can even ring people on it, things like that. Fantastic. It's amazing, isn't it, when you look down that list. Now, I do know what an Apple iPhone is, and I do know what an iPod Touch is, and I know what most of those things are. You see number 8, one for the ladies, hair straighteners, just made it in there. Most of the stuff others from that is either men or kids, isn't it? But I do not know what go-go hamsters are. Number 10, and I was hoping that someone might be able to help me out. Does anyone know what go-go hamsters are? Does anybody know? Steve knows. Go on, Steve, what are they?
They haven't been in the shop since about November, I think.
Is that right? They've just gone.
Little pets, and they move around the house. All electronics.
Oh, I see. Right. So they're just like a real hamster, but you don't have to clean up after them. Is that the... Yeah, you don't have to feed them. Right, I see. So there we go. That's the top 10 list, and that's what people will probably be getting. I must admit, none of them things were on my list, but I mean, you know, we'll see what happens. That's great. Thanks, sir. Thanks, Phil. Now then, for those of you who haven't been here over the last few weeks, we've been looking at a whole series in Matthew's Gospel. We've spent 3 weeks looking at the first part of chapter 1, which talks about the genealogy of Jesus, tells us about where he came from, and tells us that he's got pedigree. And then last week, John kindly took for us the service and the sermon, and we looked at the end of chapter 1. And this morning, we're going to be looking at the beginning of chapter 2. And it's that thing that we've been looking at all morning, this journey that the three kings have made. Now, we've had an aim, or I've had an aim, over this lead-up to Christmas. And the aim has been that we would be staggered and in awe at who it was that was born in that stable 2,000 years ago. And I hope that what we look at this morning will help to achieve some of that aim for us. Now, I know you know the story because we've just acted it out, and I'm sure some of you young people have done it before, maybe in school this year, and if not this year, then in other years as well. And that brings a familiarity, doesn't it? That means that we feel like we know the story, and you could have well been sat there and it could have got you thinking about some other times when you've been in churches or in schools and you've seen the same story. But what I'd like us to try and do this morning is to try and forget what we already know. Try and forget that we've heard the story before, so that the impact of what was actually happening at that time would hit us afresh this morning. So let's try and forget what we already know about the story. Let's try and take at face value what Matthew is trying to tell us. Because when you think about it, if you take away this Christmas service and all the nativity plays and all things like that, when this was first told and you heard it, if you really understood it, I mean, it's actually incredibly amazing, isn't it? What is going on here? It's really amazing. Some important people saw something very important that caused them to travel a great distance to find out what was going on. We don't know how far they went. We know they went a long way because they went to the capital city of another country to find out where this person was born. Has anybody here ever been to another country? Yeah. Any younger ones? Yeah? Did it take you very long to get there?
2 days.
It's incredible, isn't it? Yeah. Well, let's say that we wanted to go to a different country today, and we wanted to do it in the car. We don't have to walk, and we don't have to use camels. But we wanted to do it in the car. It would take hours, wouldn't it? Now then, can anyone tell me the most heard phrase that would come up in the back of the car during that journey? Are we nearly there yet? Do you think one of the wise men used to say that to the others? Are we nearly there yet? You can imagine, can't you? I mean, it takes us a long time, doesn't it, today, to go from one country to another. I mean, it takes you loads of time to get anywhere from Norwich, but I mean, particularly to another country today, in the car, would take us a long time. It took these people a long time. They didn't have a car. However, they did travel, probably on camels. It would have taken them a long time to get there, but they saw something that made them want to go. It was something that was important to them. And so off they went. They knew that what waited at the other end would be worth the journey. And they go to the king, don't they? As we saw acted out for us earlier. They go to the king, a man called Herod, and they ask him, where is the king of the Jews? They knew this guy was important. Where is he to be born? And as we saw in our reading earlier that the young people did for us, there was a quote from the Old Testament, from Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, which tells us that this long-expected king will be born in Jerusalem. So the wise men go to Bethlehem. They went to Jerusalem to Herod. So they follow the star to Bethlehem. And when it stops, they're overjoyed. Now that could be for two reasons, couldn't it? Johnny, were you overjoyed when you got to your holiday after 2 days of travelling?
Overjoyed.
When you got to your holiday? Were you very happy to be able to get out the car and stretch your legs? I'll let you think about that one. You weren't in a car. Should we draw a line under that? We'll just move on. When you've normally done a long journey and you get there, there's a sense of relief, isn't there? Just because it's a long journey. But if you're seeing somebody like grandparents that you haven't seen for a long time or friends that you haven't seen for a long time, then there's something else going on, isn't there? The fact that it's not just the getting there, it's the person that you're going to see when you get there. There's that sense of excitement, isn't there, going on. And that's what they had as well. This incredible baby who was born 2,000 years ago, who had been promised for such a long time, they'd heard about him and they knew he'd arrived, and they went on a long journey to find him. Now, what do you think they said when they got there? Do you think they talked about how cute he was? Do you think they gave the parents advice on how to change a nappy?
No.
Bearing in mind that these disposable ones weren't going to be around for 2,000 years. And we've only just felt the benefit of that. My mum and dad never. Do you think they entered into the dummy debate, you know, whether it should have a dummy or not, you know? You know, you don't really want to give him a dummy because it'll stop his speech. And they say, oh, no, actually, you know, the latest thing is that they didn't do any of that, did they? They didn't go there to give parental advice. They went there because of who the baby was. We see in the reading, don't we, and we've seen this morning that they worshipped him and they gave him gifts. They worshipped him and they gave him gifts. And that's what Matthew wants his readers to understand. When he writes this passage for us, he wants us to say, look at the reaction of those first people that travelled to find Jesus. Because that's the reaction he wants from all of us. He wants us to worship him and he wants us to give something to him. Now, throughout the reading, there are going to be three different reactions. The first was the reaction of the people like Herod and the people of Jerusalem, where it says they were greatly disturbed. Now, they weren't interested in whether he was important or not. They just wanted to get rid of him. They recognized that if he was to be born the king of the Jews, that would have an impact upon their lives. That this person, this baby, eventually, when he grew up, would have an impact upon their lives. And they were afraid and they didn't like it. Herod thought, if he is a true king, then he's going to take my kingship away from me. And do you know what? That's exactly the same today. That's exactly the same today. We can still have that reaction. When we look at Jesus and we think, if we allow for the possibility that he might be a king, we know what it means. It means he's going to take our kingship away from us. And that's true. That is exactly what it means. And we could equally say, like Herod does, we could have that first reaction. We could say, I am king here. And I haven't got room for Jesus. And I want to get rid of him. That's the first reaction. The second reaction is that of the chief priests and the teachers of the law. Those are the ones that they asked to find out where the baby was going to be born. And their reaction was indifference. indifference. They could have gone with the wise men. They could have thought, at last, this person that we've been waiting for, they've come all this way. You know, can we go with you? Can we find him? We want to see him. We want to worship him. You don't realize what this means to us as a nation. But they didn't. They just stayed where they were. And they probably just thought, well, we'll see what happens. We don't know if it's really him. We don't know if it's true. It doesn't really matter. That's most people's reaction today. There's this indifference to who Jesus is. He may be someone important. I just don't want to find out about him. It may be special, this Christmas time, this baby coming into the world, but I don't want it to encroach on my life. And then we get, like we did with the first reaction, we want to keep him at arm's length. We want to push him away. And then we get the third reaction. And that's the one that Matthew wants us to take on board, the one that we looked at the beginning. When the wise men got there, they bowed down and worshipped him, and they gave him gifts. And we'll see these three reactions coming up throughout the gospel. But the third one is the one that Matthew is trying to convince us that he wants us to have. He's trying to say, look, you just don't understand who it is that's born in this stable. He is worth giving your life to. He is worth trusting because of what you will get in return. Recognizing who he is one of the most amazing things that can ever happen to anybody. Recognizing who Jesus is. As we've already seen last week in chapter 1 and verse 23, Emmanuel, he is God with us. He is God becoming man. Verse 21 of chapter 1. He is the Saviour. He will save his people from their sins. Jesus comes because we need him. Let's not push him away. Let's not keep him at arm's length. Let's find out about who he is, because I can honestly say that the benefits of knowing him far outweigh any of the troubles. They bowed down and they worshipped him. We looked at the top 10 gifts this year, haven't we? And we maybe picked that idea up from the wise men. That first Christmas they came and they gave him their gifts. And we're still doing it today. Whether it came about like that or not, we don't know. But we know something of what it means to give at this time of year. At Christmas time. However painful it may be, having to get through all the traffic and get into the city or whatever it may be, we know something of what it means. But the reality is, Jesus, when he comes, he's asking for our whole lives. He's asking for us to trust him, to recognize who he is and why he came. He wants us to submit to him and to put him first. He loves us and he died to prove it. Jesus came not so that he could just be born as and laid in a manger and so that people would remember it once a year. He came so that when he died, he would open a way back to God for us. He loves us and he died to prove it. But he does make demands of us upon our lives. He says, come to me. And he asks us all to come because he's the only way that we can get to know the Father. The last verse of our last song sums it up quite well. And I haven't got a song sheet. Wesley, could you just pass me that one down there, mate, please? Yep, that's great. Cheers. It's in here somewhere. Can someone remind me what it is? Thank you, Derek. We're going to sing it in a minute. In the bleak midwinter. We know something of that, don't we? It's going on this morning when frosty winds made moan. But the last verse said this. And this is what the writer wanted us to understand. This is what Matthew wanted us to understand. This is what I want us to understand this morning. It says, what can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? I give my heart. That's why he came, so that he could know us and we could put him first in our lives. So let's stand together and sing our final song. After this, there will be tea and coffee served, so please stay around. It's been great to have you among us this morning. The collection that we talked about for Tear Fund, there's a box outside the back. I think there's a note on these two boxes here as well. If you want to give to that, you know about that, and that's fine. Please stand and let's sing together number 21, In the Bleak Midwinter.